Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, January 26, 2016. It is 6:31.
Okay, I will call the meeting to order. We'll do roll call. Lee Bushy, present. David Doran is not here. Robert Ferguson?
Is here.
Martha Bonney is not here. Angela Kowalczyk-Adrians?
Here.
Kelsey Prescott?
Here.
Our trustee, Rob Atwood?
Here.
And our staff liaison, Chris Clark?
Here.
Okay. Are there any does everybody have an agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Any modifications to the agenda as it went out to us? If not, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
To adopt.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
You.
Aye.
We'll do Bob.
Bob seconded?
Yeah.
Okay. We will save any public appearances.
Oh, sorry.
Jump number three. Let's go back to number three. Does everybody have a copy or have had a chance to review the minutes from the December 22nd meeting? Any revisions or changes as they're written, or do I have a motion to adopt? Approve.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Rob Atwood. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Kelsey Prescott. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The minutes are approved. Is anyone here in the public to speak to something other than what's on the agenda already? Otherwise, we will save that for the agenda item. Okay. If not, we will move on to number five. Chris, information regarding Alloway Buccaneers football organization proposal.
Yes. Alloway Buccaneers football organization, youth football, approached me a couple weeks ago. And they have a proposal where they would like to work on some of the capital improvements with us and kind of fast-track what our original plan was on a few of those. And they have some donations, outside monies that they feel that they can bring to the table to assist with the funding of the capital improvements. To begin with, one of the items is that they're wanting to look at is replacing the existing building that is near the playground and the sledding hill. They want to look to fund and replace that with new concession stand, restrooms, storage facility, that type of thing. So, as well as look at, along with that, look at upgrading some of the lighting for the football field in conjunction with the construction of a new building to be able to provide some additional lighting, improve the parking in the location. They feel when they bring the construction equipment in, they're going to destroy some pavement. So, you know, they're looking to help fund that, as well as some ideas, naming rights, some fundraising ideas that they had. I just wanted to bring it to the committee. We're going to continue to work on it. We'll probably have them come in and do a proposal to the committee here in a couple of months. And once they get some more things in line, they're going to start to look at architectural aspects of facility and some of the things like that. But a great opportunity, great idea. All things that we had in our capital improvement plan for that park. It's just that they're thinking they have some opportunities that are a lot quicker than what we had anticipated. So we're looking at hopefully within the next couple of years to be doing something at that location. So I think it's great. Once again, working with a sport organization and partnering with them and coming up with ways to do improvements. So I think that it will be a win-win, but I just wanted to bring it to the committee and give you guys kind of a heads up that they're talking about it and be coming down the line. So,
any questions for Chris or thoughts? Doesn't seem like there's anything you need from us.
No, not at this time. Just information. The Buccaneers organization has been around for a long time, done a lot of great things for the community, and I think this will be an additional great thing.
Pretty aggressive plan that they have, too.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Good organization.
Good people.
Yeah. Been around a long time. I went through it.
Wow.
Very long.
All right. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Nothing further on that. Move on to number 6, discuss and take action regarding athletic field use agreement with Titletown Select, Inc. baseball organization.
Okay. This is an item that was at a previous meeting. We brought it back after the committee wanted to explore working with the organization on a sport use facility field agreement. I've come up with a draft agreement. I believe I sent you all an email so you could preview it. Here is a copy of another copy in case you didn't have it.
Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead and feel. And then a copy of an email from Titletown Select as well.
Yeah.
So, so I've been working on this agreement, been working back and forth with Nate on some of the ideas, some of the options of the funding options with regards to, fees, things like that, as well as some of the proposed park improvements, facility improvements, capital financing that they're looking to assist with if this agreement were to be undertaken. With that, I am sure that there might be some additional questions from the committee. Nate and Tabitha are here to answer any questions. We do have one gentleman in the crowd, if you want to call it a crowd, that we'll open it up.
Crowd of one.
Yeah, we'll open it up if he would like to speak after. The committee has some opportunities to ask some questions.
So, reactions, questions, thoughts, concerns from the committee.
I was curious on the schedule. As far as I know, this is the dates were April 1st to October 31st. I just wanted all off from 7 a.m. to dusk. Now, how many games are there? They don't have it locked up all that time.
No. If you recall, we were talking about first rights usage as opposed to exclusive rights usage.
Right.
First rights usage means that Titletown would give our department a schedule of when they plan to have need to use the facility for games and practices, or other items such as a camp or a tournament, things like that, and then we would put that into our scheduling. If there's other organizations or teams outside of Titletown that wanted to use the facility and it was available,
sure,
or Titletown wasn't available, then it would be available. As far as the dates and the times go. The dates are typical of, with the Wisconsin weather, we have to play that, but are typical for our sport fields.
Mm-hmm.
We try to do April. Sometimes it's mid-April, sometimes, depending on how long winter stays. And we want to shut things down by the end of October because we need to winterize our facilities, bathrooms and that. So that's very typical. Hours, actually, the hours that I had listed in there are more stringent than what our park hours are. Our park hours, I believe, are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Correct.
So, you know, with this being, other than maybe tournaments, I don't foresee, you know, early mornings. You know, that typically that's when you would get a, you know, early morning. There's no lights. And rather than putting a time period on it, dusk, because it fluctuates so much from, you know, throughout the summer. So that's why we listed it as dusk. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. Covered it.
I have a couple questions. Is there anything in here that would allow either you or this committee to have any input on, maybe not so much fencing or netting or anything like that, but like a landscaping element of it?
As far as approval?
Yeah, reviewing any plans or designs. Or
yes. I believe one of the items, or most of the items in there, do say that it has to have approval of the department or the director.
Okay.
And, you know, especially something like landscaping, I would foresee that being more something on our end anyway.
Okay.
With regards to any park furnishings or improvements, it's either something we work together on or they have to get approval prior to.
And then the other question I was wondering about is just more just bringing up maybe considerations that if there's ever a student in this program that came from Alloway, can there be anything to provide maybe a scholarship for them or some kind of discount for them if it's an Alloway resident going to the program?
To help pay fees for the organization?
Yeah. Maybe give a little advantage to a resident in some way.
Okay.
That the village would provide the scholarship, or they would
probably as part of this is the program, you know, as part of.
Yeah, that would be beyond the scope
of maybe
of what we would provide.
But is it beyond the scope of what you can have in a contract?
Or
maybe there's no interest. It's just
right. It would have to go through the organization, and I don't know if you guys provide those type of things. Do you provide financial help?
Right now we do have. I mean, we're not a profit, so it's very, very minimal of what we asked for payment. It's $200, but it's $1,850 we have to recover. At this point in our infancy state, I can't just go and say, here, you can play for free. There has to be that trade-off. Mm-hmm. So what we offer to all our athletes is you can go get sponsorships. You can go get, you know, and in 5 years, hopefully that's something that we can achieve right now. But I'd say right now, because of overhead costs and we are taking on this project of bringing a lot of money into Alloway, I would say no. That would be an extra cost on our end that we just can't afford right now.
Have you approached, like, say, civic organizations, Kiwanis Club, or any other clubs or things like that that would maybe give a scholarship?
We are working with, we're starting to roll in, we're now in our new facility, and we are working with getting scholarships. Actually, that is one of our programs, of having scholarships, not just for Alloway kids, but for any kids.
Okay.
What we don't allow within our group is somebody saying that I can't afford it. Mm. Because you can afford it, you might have to work for it, but let's sit down and, you know, if you can give $20, $5 for a down payment, we will work with you. We don't ever want money to be an issue, and that's why we exist.
Okay.
So, but just to hand over $1,850 right now is a lot for our organization to do.
It's within the future plans to get to that point, and hence the reason why we started our own facility to generate revenue, start offsetting the cost of the program, and have that availability to say, yep, you know, here's $500 scholarship, or here, whatever the case may be, have that fund to be able to do that. It just doesn't exist at this point in time. We will be joining the Chamber of Commerce as well, so that's something that we'll look to tackle that particular scholarship topic at that avenue, and grow that as the community as a whole learns more about us.
What I can tell you is, from our past, we've had financial need cases where, you know, I've gone out, I've sought extra extra funds so kids can play and can travel. So we really don't believe in any kid left behind. But right now, to go above and beyond, because somebody lives within a residency, right now I would have a hard time approving that.
Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
What I could add in there, though, is that we have camps, and what we could do is, you know, we have a camp, and any kid in the Alloway district, you know, donate $5 back to the Park and Rec program, or, you know, we would offset some kind of cost for one of the fundraisers. That I'd be willing to do.
We've done that before, you know, for instance, if it was, say, it's $30 for registration for a camp, or a camper, we've donated $15 back to maybe whoever was hosting it. And wherever you allocate those funds, whether that's the baseball program, the softball program, or whatever the case may be, you know, as the beneficiary of allowing us to host it, yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that works out as a great plan with something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
We have started with a proposal of $500 for the season for basic maintenance and $100 a day fee for tournaments.
Correct.
And an additional donation for the improvements that are listed.
Correct. And we didn't come up with a dollar figure for that as of yet.
But Title Town is countering, asking for the season fee and the daily tournament fee to be waived, with those funds being replaced by all of the funds raised from banner sponsorships coming back to the village. Do I understand that correct?
Yep, that and whatever else we can leverage as far as getting discounts and good faith donations towards the items that are within the plan, on top of any other fundraising that we do that we can potentially allocate towards.
Do you have a projection as to what the banner sponsorship will raise? Do you have a goal, an annual goal for that?
An annual goal?
Yeah, what would 100% of the donations actually be?
Usually we do 4x4 foot banners, which would be in our facility. Mm-hmm. And if we're allowed to do that across the fence, you know, we normally they're anywhere from $250 to $500 per banner. So
and
that's across quite a few.
Yeah. That's why I countered with the proposal of saying let's have a item that we're going to take care of per season, because those items fluctuate in cost, and so will the fundraising aspect. But I think what is more beneficial to the community is getting those things taken care of and alleviating the overall cost from the projections that were provided with the park transformation plan, which I think all of those things upwards are well over $50,000, if not upwards of $75,000.
So do you have a targeted goal for the sponsorship funding each year?
Well, we would, yes. So we went with the landscaping first. So how much?
I think there was $5,000 that was listed for the.
Yeah, but those, you have it listed that those are two separate things. Your first point is that you're asking us to waive the $500 per season fee and the $100 per day tournament in lieu of the sponsorship funding?
Right.
So the sponsorship funding
is
based on your goal is whatever improvement you're going to make.
Correct.
But you have that listed as the improvement is as an alternative to the yearly donation. Those are two separate items in the agreement.
In the agreement, it states that Alloway would retain only 15% of the
right
banner sponsorship.
Yeah, I get that.
Yep. And so we would rather allocate 100% of that because we
right
don't need a cut of that.
Yeah, but you were saying that that would replace the $500 per season fee and the $100 per day tournament fee.
Correct.
Is that tied into the capital improvement projects, or is that separate from the capital improvement projects of landscaping, ball diamond fencing, and heading?
We would use the fundraising to pay for the capital improvement projects.
So instead of paying you guys the $500 and the $600 for renting your facility, we are using your facilities, but we are improving your parks, which would supersede what we would pay you guys in rent.
But that cost to improve it, you're not referring to the sponsorship funding to cover that cost. You're saying that we get 100% of the sponsorship funding, plus you'll, in your with your own expenses, cover the improvements.
No, the sponsorship funding is for the improvements.
Okay.
Who sells the sponsorship?
We would, but we could certainly go into partnership with any one of the other organizations in LA. We wouldn't make it a proprietary thing.
Is there a typical way that that's handled, Rob?
Well, I think what I'm seeing here is that obviously you guys are a startup and you're going to need as much help as you can going into it, okay? So if the sponsorship, you know, if we're looking at just say $5,000 for the landscaping in year one and the $500 per season and $100 per tournament, how many tournaments?
One.
Okay, so $600 for that, we're talking about $5,600. Mm-hmm. Dividing that out by the 4x4 signs at $250 each, looking at what, 24 sponsorships, roughly? Who's going to sell those 24 sponsorships?
We would.
Okay. We do this actually. It's a pretty frequent thing. That's actually how most of our parents already have their 1850 already paid for. It's been very lucrative. This isn't our first rodeo with it. Done it with the East Side League. Actually done it with Pop Warner. Very successful with it. Going to the alleyway businesses, speaking with them. There's a lot of that. When people actually can see tangible things and saying this is what we're doing, people are willing to spend money on that. Okay. So
that banner fee, is that an annual fee? Or is it a one-time fee? Annual fee?
Annual.
Mm-hmm. And who maintains those banners?
We would.
So that they look new, fresh, and they're not ratty and ripped and things of that nature.
Do they stay up for the entire season, or do you take them down and put them back up when you're using the field? How does that work?
We had asked you guys about that, if what was okay and what was not okay.
Which I don't think they're...
What is okay?
They're your parks. I mean,
right.
They're our parks, but you're the director. I would say if they're maintained and look decent, leave them up. That's
right.
A pretty high task to take them down and put them up all the time.
Right now, the Planning Commission is looking at their sign ordinances, and this may pertain. So we do have to see what comes of that. Because this would be considered off-premise advertising, there may be some issues, or we may have to come up with a way to make it work.
Sure.
So with regards to putting them up and taking them down, I think it would not be very logical to be doing it every time that you're out there. I think it would make most sense that if they're kept in good condition, you put them up and they can stay up for the season, take them down in the wintertime, and that. But, like I said, not to put the cart before the horse, I think we need to find out exactly what the sign ordinance is going to determine what we can and maybe can't do with regards to that. So.
Well, and we have outside of the box fundraising.
Okay.
And we, as an organization as a whole, I do not do any type of fundraising that's 50% or less return. That is just my belief, and I don't even like to do it if it's 75% or less.
And mind you, you know, all of our fundraising efforts are not just solely located to this banner sponsorship. You know, if that's something that doesn't work out, there are other avenues that, whether it's through private donation, whether it's through
grants,
hamburger, fries, grants, well, yeah, I mean, it's There's a whole mess of things that are on the table for us to be able to generate these funds. The amount of which I'm not concerned about raising in the slightest. On top of the operations that we need to still maintain as well.
If we were to do projects per year and sponsorship per banners were not a possibility, who is going to pay for the project, the capital improvement project, whether it's landscaping or fencing? And or would it be a split proposition between the organization and the village? Or would it be 100%?
My understanding, we were going to assume 100% of that item for the year.
Okay.
That project for the year.
Okay.
In return for the use of the facility.
Okay.
But the work would be done by the village?
Or a contractor.
Yep. Right. So they're not saying they're going to do the landscape and they're going to put in a fence.
Correct.
Is that? You're not going to do the work.
I wouldn't physically do the work, but I would pay somebody to do it. And that would be part of the fundraising.
What Lee is saying is, would you and the volunteers be planting plants, or would it be the village's responsibility to come up with the landscape plan, come up with the contractor, and you guys just pay the bill?
No. So I think there's two things, though. So for landscaping is a little bit easier than putting in a fence, okay? Yeah. So when it comes down to it, what I'd like to do, what we've done when I group in Pecana, we would propose it to the city, we'd bring it to the group and say, here guys, this is what our picture is, and I'd like to draw it out so that you guys are happy with it and you can be futuristic and you can get it in out to the community to see. A lot of times, you know, volunteer is the best kind of help sometimes in bringing the community together. If there's people that, you know, if it's planting plants and simple digging a hole and putting a plant in it, I can handle that. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. Planting grass, I can handle that. If it's a little bit more than that, we need to hire the professionals.
Okay.
So.
Whatever the case may be, we want to make sure that what it is, it's done to quality and it's done correctly.
Right.
So haphazard is not the way we do things. So, you know, if it certainly calls for contractor work, then that's the way we would refer it to.
Chris, I have a question
yes.
for you. So when you came up with this $500 per season for maintenance, operation, expenses, and supplies, is that what it then costs a village to provide those services?
It is not. It is more than if we would charge them a field usage fee, slightly, but less than what it would actually take us time, material, equipment to do.
Okay.
So it's kind of a happy medium.
So with the revised structure, those those sponsorship fees would get you the improvement, but ultimately there would be an expense to the village for the maintenance, operation, and supplies of having
Correct.
Them at the park.
Correct.
But if they just paid the fee, would there be any coverage of these improvements, or that just throws the whole plan out the window?
More than likely, yes. Time frame, it wouldn't be expedited like we're looking at. You know, it would be more along the lines of what we had up here with the short, medium, long range.
Is there maybe a different happy medium that could be struck between still getting some recoupment of the maintenance, operation, and supplies while getting a larger portion of the sponsorship in order to work on the schedule? You know, some kind of maybe not quite 100%, but yet mm-hmm. get some fees also
yeah,
to cover the maintenance.
Yeah.
Right. And that's initially what I was looking
yeah.
to try to do, is recoup some of our operation expenses because we will be spending more time at this facility for the organization
yeah.
to utilize it than we would on a normal year. And would we be able to work on these numbers and costs and expenses? You know, possibly. I think that it's something that, you know, we can negotiate.
I think I personally think I like that idea better because it gives some guarantees
mm-hmm.
that the village will have something they can count on for the additional expense they have, rather than, you know, this is, you know, it sounds like a pretty sure deal that there will be sponsorship, but you don't know. I mean, we could have it that the you know, plan commission revises the sign code where maybe it's less desirable for people to want to advertise there, and it's tough getting the sponsorship, and then really you're not meeting
or talking
the goals.
To the community, the neighborhood, right? That is that that's still something that would need to happen before advertising went up.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, to go from 15% to 100% is a pretty big jump.
Right. Right.
Or maybe there's even an opportunity to come up with a fee structure that the set fees, you know, go down as certain sponsorship goals are met, so that there's incentive for them to get the sponsorship because then it will reduce their fees, but then also gives us some guarantee of coverage if the sponsorship isn't met.
But do you see where we're coming from as well? Is we're giving, like, we're going to go out and get it because we want to work with you guys. We want the fields. We are giving you a lot more than actually what we're getting in return. Because I can easily go across town and go rent from somebody or go get these parks. And, yeah, it's going to cost me, but that I don't have to do any work. So we want to work and have that building relationship with you. You guys are actually gaining a lot more than what we are gaining out of it. And that's why we are going to sign the contract stating we are working for you guys, you know, to get this up and going. And the sponsorships are not the only fundraising that we're doing for this. That's so think outside of the wheelhouse on that. It's not just the banners. If the banners don't happen, I will definitely think of something else because I can network with a block away, two blocks away at Optimus Park. You know, I brought in brand new things down for the city of Green Bay for the Optimus Club. Went 100% to the park for free. It's really dealing with a lot of these companies. You start talking to these business owners. Hey, it's for the kids. People will do it because it's for the kids. So there's definitely opportunity and growth as a business owner, and I think you would agree with this. And you know that we're taking more of a risk than what you guys are taking. You know, with putting the money out there. When you look at the number crunching, you know, if I'm going to shell out get you guys $5,000 worth of landscaping, and I'm, you know, you want to charge me $1,500 for the year, well, I'd rather give you my time and my efforts and get you the park improvements than pay that money, you know, up front. So,
Chris, if I might ask,
sure.
What you have listed on the screen,
yes,
that has been approved by the village, and that is monies that will be spent by the village over the course of time for those exact improvements at this park, correct?
Those are recommendations. They're not set in stone.
Okay.
So.
When would they be set in stone?
Annually at budget meetings.
So where we came to this, it was our assumption and understanding that these were things that were planned out. The recommendation was these are the things that are going to happen. So in looking at it, hey, if the village is budgeted or is budgeting $35,000 for bleachers, for us to pay $500 a year to use a park, if we're going to give you $35,000 for bleachers, that's where we're taking that off the books of the village in the long run. So that's how we came to this particular proposal.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
It's a four-year agreement, right?
Correct.
Five?
Yeah, through 20.
So could they try it for a year or two or something to see how it works out and then change it?
Well, we can always change it. There's a stipulation in there that we can always...
By mutual agreement.
By mutual agreement. Yeah. Or by...
The village has the right to terminate the agreement if any of the conditions are not abided by.
Right. So, which I don't foresee that happening, but that's one of the items, you know, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you were going with, if we went with this proposal, is it spelled out in the contract that the village gets these items, you know, regardless of, you know,
yes,
what happens.
Any donations become property of the village. Whether it's a fixed feature, an improvement, or a movable feature such as bleachers.
We get to keep them if there's done, but you're asking, is there a guarantee
that we'll get
them?
Yeah. Would the contract state that there will be landscaping, there will be...
We can list that in there.
Because I guess what I'm getting at is, so, okay, let's say we waive the fees and it's just based on the donations, and the donations don't quite cut it, and you can't quite get fencing. Mm-hmm. Is there anything then in the contract that says, well, you know, regardless, you have agreed that you would do that, whether you get the funds elsewhere or
right? That's a good question.
It was my understanding in reading the contract and with that proposal that proposing it that way, we would be held accountable for whatever way of
right.
getting that item done by the end of the year.
Okay.
But that's why we wanted 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have it. Because we're 3 years into it, by then we're going to be 8 years established. So, that's why we started small with landscaping. It's a lot easier than getting bleachers or fencing.
Okay.
And that's where we started, and getting more about. We've grown quite a bit in 3 years. So, another 5 years from that, who knows, we might have another park in your backyard. So, I mean, we really
maybe not at the
moment. Yeah. We have to borrow from Green Bay a little bit.
Let's just start with a park that they drink Miller.
Yeah, right?
It's small.
Look at a negative, but if your organization doesn't make it, if you guys end up folding, are we out anything? Are we, do we still hold you to the agreement? Is the agreement void, null and void then at that point?
If the organization does not exist.
Correct.
Yeah.
It would be hard to put a personal guarantee on something like that. And I'm not going to leverage against my house, something like that. and especially when we're not getting the cent out of doing this nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, I don't know that necessarily that the village is owed anything at that point anyway, because you're already considering these items anyhow. Mm-hmm. So you only stand to benefit from getting the items with the anticipation that there would still be the possibility of having these, but I don't foresee. We're actually already discussing expanding our services to other things.
Okay.
So I don't foresee it going in the negative direction, but it is always a possibility in business, yes.
Okay.
Has this been clarified? So if they're selling sponsorship fees, who holds those dollars once you get a sponsorship? Do those go to the village to hold those dollars pending approval of one of these improvements, or where are those dollars sitting?
They go to the village.
If it would be the agreement that it's 100%,
that's
yes.
what they're proposing. That's,
then
so that's
they
what
will
I
go
want.
To the village.
So we would hold.
We would hold.
So we would just need. So what I would need from an aspect of working donations and ensure the village guys have done that is if it's you and I go down and we go talk to a business and we say okay, we'll pay for $200 worth of service. Will you double that? We would need that leverage in order to do that and some flexibility and freedoms, but. We're definitely willing to work with you guys and getting...
The monetary amounts would go into an account that you designate, yes.
Right. And then at the end of the season, or however we determine that the payment would be made, if, for instance, the banner sponsorships did not cover the anticipated improvement, you guys would make up the difference some other way? With
what other fundraising
mechanism
that we would partake in and do the work on, yes.
Just seems like a lot for a startup to take on. I mean, potentially tens of thousands
year,
of dollars.
This is our third year renting from Halloway.
I get that, but it's $600 versus tens of thousands. I mean, that's awesome, but. Maybe a little bit lofty of a goal. I'm just wondering if it would make more sense to just have some monetary goals rather than a tackling each project, having sort of a monetary amount each year, a goal to hit with sponsorships that would go towards this particular park's improvements over time, rather than these sort of, you know, ever-changing construction components, which I understand you also have a piece of it is sort of the community service or the hands-on effort, but maybe that could be included as well as a portion of hours, and then first year $1,000 that would be raised is the goal. And if you don't hit the 1,000, maybe there's something. I don't want to, you know, make it seem like it should be less because this is really huge, but I also would want to set you up for success and the village and the partnership to make sure that, you know, everybody's kind of getting what they want.
What would you think would be a fair targeted goal per year, dollar amount?
I mean, personally, I'm just going to throw out 1,000 would be, maybe the first year 1,000 would be really reasonable, given that at 600, maybe if you're growing and expanding, you're using it more often. I don't know, it would grow more. But I don't know all of the details of this, but just based on the fees associated with it, 1,000, 2,000?
From their proposal, though, they're pretty much guaranteeing that the capital improvements will be done within a 5-year period. I can't guarantee that we'll get funding. Funding from the village to go along with the monies that they would put forth, you know, as in the agreement to be able to do that capital improvement, say in year 4. I can't guarantee that I will have, you know, say we did a 75-25 split. I can't guarantee that the village board's going to say, okay, you know, here is 25% of you know, one of the items, the bleachers, 25% of $35,000. I can't guarantee.
It's more that. About the improvements and less about getting a fee waived then, really.
Probably. Okay. Make sense?
Yeah, especially if you want the improvements at this park, because once you start talking about spending money at parks, it's been a whole overall discussion.
Yeah, when I go to the village board during budget time, this is only one small portion of what our budget is, or capital, because we have parks all over the community that we're trying to find funding for.
So. Right.
Yeah, even in our own park plan, this
and
is
this
a priority.
This being a park that's rather underutilized would more than likely fall quite low on the totem pole as far as priority goals.
Yeah.
So I guess that was part of our target, too, is that, you know, this can be something that can get done sooner rather than later.
And maybe there's a middle of the road sort of thing there too, and you know, obviously 1,000, much too low, 5,000 over 5 years. But you know, maybe there's something that would be a little bit more reasonable that can get a lot of these done, and at the same time not sort of break your back.
Oh, I think they have strong backs. I say that in a complimentary way. You guys wouldn't throw it out there if you didn't think you could generate it. You know, I just don't want the village to ever be in a situation that 3 years down the road from now we say, well, we wanted to put bleachers in, but the village, you know, that it reflects negatively on us.
Sure.
You know, the onus has got to be on you guys. You know, I mean, this is your program, and we've got the facility, you know, and it's going from there. And you guys will roughly have how many kids in your program? 15?
This year, 36.
Okay, so you got 36, so you've got well over what? 36, 40, you got 40 grand already raised in fees for them. So these capital improvements shouldn't be hard to hit in terms of the, you know, raising of the banner. I got to admit, the thing that is kind of puzzling to me is why would you forfeit a potential $5,000 in banner fees for $600?
because that's the kind of people we are. I'm
looking really hard, and I don't see halos over.
the thing is, the reason why we got into this a while ago was because altruism is not something that really exists much in the community anymore. And frankly, you know, it's easier for me to talk about the good things to people and get them to realize that investment within other things are good for everybody. And sometimes that means opening their pocketbook a little bit, sharing. And that, to me, that's not time lost. And so, you know, $5,000 there, rather than spending $600, I would rather spend my time acquiring that than physically paying.
And also what we like to do, in our philosophy is you lead from the front, okay? And this generation that we are raising now needs to learn how to lead from the front. And things aren't just handed to you. So by my boys going out there and having to do some work and rake up the fields and understand building it from the ground up, just like I had to as a child, it gives them ownership. And it's about leading by example. And that's what we believe in.
I admire that. And also being from the old schools, it looks to be a little too good to be true.
That's the problem.
And that's why I threw it out there. So we had some discussion
on it. It's something that we deal with on a daily basis. But I appreciate you recognizing that.
If I was really worried about, you know, a lot of people, that's why we did not stop it. That's why we don't get paid. We put over 40 hours in a week. We're doing this because, you know what? What gets me is when I sit and I talk to these girls that I'm coaching right now that wouldn't be playing softball anymore because they've been run out of leagues because there's these egotistical dads that tell them they're not good enough because their daughter's going to start pitching or catching, that I kept them in and kept them going and got a student athlete and gave them hope. That's my biggest payoff. That's what's in it for us. That's it. It's that simple.
Do we have any questions, concerns from the crowd?
Well, can I go first?
Yeah. Could you tell us who you are?
Paul Harrison. You've got a big job to do here. First of all, when I got this, I was excited about it because I think the more money that we can spend on positive things for our youth, the less we'll have to spend later on. So, go for it. But I didn't know who Titletown Select was, which is why I came.
Okay.
You're it, right?
We're it.
I didn't know what kind of track record you had. If you have other leagues, other places, or you said you could go to Optimus Park and.
We came from the east side of Green Bay. We live on the east side of Green Bay. We're affiliated with the local leagues there. It wasn't something politically or competition-wise that suited our taste. And we opted to say there's a better way to do this, and we took that on ourselves 3 years ago. So we made a non-residency program revolved around travel athletics, but developing the student-athlete rather than the for-profit programs that exist saying, you come play with us, you're going to get a Division I scholarship, you're going to be a pro, give me a couple $1,000 and we'll create this fantasy for you. It's not about that. It's about creating the next generation of leaders that are going to be professional workers, and with them understanding that they're going to have to go up there and get it, they're likely not going to be professional athletes. And so there are two things in the community that are stopping people from enjoying those type of higher-end training and competition, and that was the child's ability to get from point A to point B because they have no parents over that. They can't drive. And secondly, they have no parents over what the parents make. So they couldn't say whether or not the parents could afford it. So we wanted to wipe those two things clean and say we will get them there, and regardless of money, we will find a way to get them. We will get their costs covered. You get them there. They need an opportunity. And that's what it's about, is creating.
And it's really those, I guess, middle-class Americans that are running into it. I mean, it's everybody's... It's not the poor kids that you think of, you know, when people are like, oh, Hannah, it's the families. I mean, my husband and I, we work very hard at our jobs, and it costs thousands of dollars to travel, you know, and put our son in extra training and doing the correct things. And we wanted to package it all in one to make it achievable for these student athletes, get them the right tools, the right training in academics and in sports, and so that they can be successful adults someday. You know, if they're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, a handyman.
I assume you're a resident.
Yeah, I live on McCormick Street, so
okay.
There's a downside. It's like, yeah, okay. So practice. Let's see. This was April 1st, October 31st. 7 a.m. to dusk. How often do you really plan on using the park?
You likely wouldn't see us out there until May 1st, because weather says we probably won't be out there until then. We do not believe in fall ball. We believe in our kids playing multiple sports. So we intentionally do not pursue fall ball. We want our boys and our girls to go play something else. So the end of the season usually comes beginning of August. What you will see out for the baseball side, you'll likely see us out there 2 days a week, maybe three, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. One of those days, Wednesdays, will occasionally be games, and more like scrimmage type things. Not a ton of spectators by any means, more parents than anything. And then one day a week for sure of practice. The other day a week of practice, we have slotted actually at our facility so that we can ensure that weather-wise we get something. Because we have people traveling from as far away as New London, Manitowoc, Pono area, you know, we have to guarantee that they're getting something. So, and then we're going to have one hosted tournament that will happen in the middle of July, and it's only for the one weekend, and that will have to be at multiple sites by sheer volume of the tournament. So, but that's the only time there's going to be a substantial volume of traffic at that site. Otherwise, it's more or less just going to be our coaches and maybe 12 cars at most, and that's it.
And let me add to that. The tournament, because it's only one field, you're not going to see five times as many cars necessarily, because unless they're going to stay there all day long watching the other teams play, you know, it's still only two teams can fit on the one field.
Right. Most of these people are coming from out of town. The novelty is coming to Green Bay, because Green Bay hasn't really held something like this type of tour or on this scale, so they're going to want to be tourists as well. And part of the reason why we're working with the Visitors and Conventions Bureau on something like this as well, those people will be scheduled probably earlier in the day so that they can go out and spend their money in our community. We can kind of double dip on that as a whole, but I don't foresee them being, you know, held to a range where they're stuck around the park all day long. Kind of thing.
Can you tell me, as being a resident close to the park, what are some of your concerns of us being at the park frequently?
Well, there's not a lot of traffic on McCormick Street, but that would probably be the route. You know, there's only two ways to get there, really, unless you jog around. And there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood, little kids. The street's pretty quiet. And I didn't know if we were, you know, when I look down to Optimist or whatever, some of the other streets, when you go down Bear on Saturday morning, you got traffic parked, you know, on both sides, and one side of Bear or none on Bear. I think they've got signs up now that you can't park on Bear. I didn't know if there was going to be restrictions on McCormick Street for parking, it was going to be one size street, or not knowing other than this.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that we would entertain too is, you know, with having a tournament, if there'd be a high volume throughout the day, we'd even look to shuttle people. If we could, you know, have a parking lot at one of the local stores. We would be absolutely happy to shuttle, and actually that happens at some of these bigger tournaments because you don't want to disrupt, and I don't. We have a 4-year-old and a 13-year-old, and that's a big mix. We don't want our kids either. If we get permission from the village to be able to, you know, block off the street so that no cars are coming, you know, down those roads going into the park to make it safe, that would be our first, you know, huge concern.
That'd be our utmost priority.
You know, our biggest priority.
People don't like to walk, though. You know, that's amazing.
You know what? And here's
the thing.
You'll get over
it.
You know, I think
my apartment.
Believe
me,
people say they're not going to get over it.
They all want to park as close as they can.
But that's, you know, we've partaken in other tournaments that we've ran before, and that's not our concern. You know, we have to walk a substantial way at other tournaments.
Sure.
And that's just part of the occasion.
You go to Mauston, Wisconsin Dells, multi-million-dollar complex, you walk a half a mile.
Yeah.
So
even if they do have enough parking,
you're
still
walking.
So. Mm-hmm. Right. So
yeah. For the duration of the 5-year agreement, you're still saying only one tournament a year?
Correct.
Or is it just one tournament the first year and then you'll see?
I don't foresee on that field, I don't foresee any more than one tournament a year.
Okay.
We're not looking to get in the business of hosting tournaments left and right. We will have our one hosted tournament per age group. But at this point right now, the only baseball team that exists is a 13 and under team, which will inhabit the,
Well, that's easy enough to address in the agreement, too.
Absolutely.
You just write it into the agreement.
Yeah.
One tournament a year, unless approval written.
Unless you want to run the tournaments, they're a lot of work.
Yeah.
They're income producing.
They are. They are when they're of the right size. If too big becomes a monstrosity, it becomes a headache, it's not worth the revenue. Too small, we certainly don't generate enough revenue out of it to make it worth the time. Usually what we shoot for is between 8 and max 16 teams. I think right now we are going to run a 12 and a 13U tournament this year, and each is slotted to have probably 12 in it, which is a happy medium for us logistically and financially.
Other questions, thoughts?
What is the fee you charge for your tournament?
$300 per team.
Okay.
Which is substandard.
Fair.
Substandard for the caliber of competition that we're offering. A lot of times at that age group, it averages right now $500 per team.
Good.
Anything else? Chris, what do you need from us?
I need a motion on what you would like me to do with regards to the agreement. Do you want to continue to work with them? Do you want us to come up with a final agreement that lists that, with regards to Titletown paying for the capital improvements, it doesn't include any of the other fees?
This isn't a motion, but my thought is that does need to have more definition and tightened up.
Right.
And this,
right.
It just seems kind of loose.
Right.
At this point.
I don't think that this is agreement that the committee would necessarily need to adopt or approve. But if you think it's worth us continuing to work this out and get it finalized, and I could bring back, we could do some more work and I could bring back a final to the next committee meeting with the understanding that if the committee agrees on it, that we're going the route of they're paying 100% of the capital improvements, then that's the way we'll work on the agreement.
Are you comfortable with that, with this revised doing that way? Do you have any concerns?
I am comfortable, after sitting here and listening, and getting more information. And, I'm more comfortable because I do truly think that in 5 years' time we'll have five items checked off for capital improvements for that park, whereas I don't know that if we were to fund it by the village that we would have that done.
So let me make this attempt at a formal motion. I'd make a motion to move forward with the agreement with the modifications of the signage sponsorship as presented in the memo from Titletown, in a little more formal language for the capital improvements for final review to be sent to the board. Lengthy, but I think it covers everything, does it not?
Yeah, I think so. I'll second that.
Further discussion? If not,
I just, yeah, just ask a technical question. When you eliminated the rental part of it, are there any questions in terms of insurance where they're not going to be technically paying a fee to rent parts?
They are required to provide, per the agreement, they're required to provide insurance.
No, that doesn't mean
a couple needs. Yeah. Good question.
I just didn't know, since you weren't paying, sometimes that's part of the contract, and you pay me, then...
There's consideration made that...
Right.
I'm not sure that we're saying they don't have to pay fees. They're just paying them in a different way.
They're paying them in a different way.
Yeah.
There's still an obligation there in consideration. And the park and recs as a whole is immune from that type of... Yeah, so we're covered under different state statutes. I can't recite those what they are right now, because I don't know them off the top of my head.
Any further discussion or questions on the motion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? So passed.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, I will have one question moving forward on this, too, as we get to the next one, so I'll just ask it now, and I should have asked it right here. Do you have in place any type of background checks for your coaches and even for yourself dealing with children?
Yes, we have a gentleman that actually runs the background checks.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It's actually a requirement of our insurance. I would assume so, but I would be... I have to ask.
I would never dream not to do that.
Good call.
Okay, moving on. Number 7. Discuss and take action regarding the Alloway Community Band sculpture.
Okay. Thank you, by the way. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. The village.
Your input's very important, so please keep coming.
Alloway Band sculpture. I don't know if everyone was on the committee when this was first brought to us. The Alloway Band received some donations to put a sculpture up by the community center. And we brought it to the committee as a discussion item, and once they had some finalization, the committee had asked that we bring it back. They did finally get some renderings, and
it's actually a miniature sculpture paper.
But this is what they're anticipating the sculpture to look like. And the sculpture would be made out of stainless steel, and the notes would be like they're floating in air. So all the white, actually, if I recall the way he said it, the white would be not be there.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So somehow they would all be connected. So that
correct.
Be all
correct.
Welded together.
Yeah. Okay.
The sculpture would be 7 feet tall, 20 inches in diameter, and actually lighted with LED lights that would change, and we could program them. They have an artist that has agreed to do the sculpture. His name is Miles Amorelli. I always get that wrong. I don't know if any of you know of him. He's an artist in Door County, and he has done a lot of metal sculptures around northeast Wisconsin as well as other areas. Very well known. The cost of this, because Miles is donating materials and using some reclaimed materials to be able to do this, $2,000. And the alloy band is paying the whole bill, mm-hmm. so there'd be no cost to the village. They anticipated if he were to do this with all purchased materials and all of his time, would be well over close to $20,000 item. So the location that we were looking at is on the Webster side of the community center. If you look at the front of the building, probably more than likely off to the right hand side of the main of the center of the building where the main entrance is.
Kind of
so
sign
it would be off to the right. Probably not that far out
okay.
towards the street. It would be back towards the building farther.
Okay.
We would work with the band to pick an exact location. But there's an entry sidewalk that comes up to the door from the parking lot from the south. And in between, that and the building, there is, 6 feet of space that we could expand landscape beds and things like that and install it, right in that location.
Why did they run it by the community center?
Because that is their home base for the band. That's where they have their office and store a lot of their... unfortunately, they store a lot of their instruments and whatnot there. Unfortunately, the community center is not large enough for them to utilize because their band is so large, But initially, the funding was a donation from an individual whose husband, I believe it was in the band and passed away. With this, the cost, what they anticipate this to be, was more than what their initial donation was, but they're willing to add more dollars to it to get it done, and then have it dedicated to all past members of the band that have passed away. So,
good idea.
What they want to do is potentially, I talked to them a little bit, but potentially we want to get this done early summer, we're thinking, but then maybe have a special event, dedication type of thing, and get some of the band to play and to make a big to-do about it. So,
future renovations of the community center aren't going to be affected by
would not be affected because two things. I think that we would be able to relocate it if we had to. It's not going to be concreted 10 feet down in the ground by any means. Secondly, because of the historical nature of the community center, I don't foresee the exterior changing at all. So the footprint of the building's not going to move. So,
so is the band covering then the electrical costs to get?
They would not cover any expense for electrical use. But with being LED, I don't foresee that being very costly anyway.
Oh, okay.
Because, it would be running electric from the building out.
Yeah.
And, that wouldn't be very costly at all.
But that's just something the village will cover
probably,
for them?
Probably, yeah. To get a piece of art like this,
yeah.
I think the village would, it'd be less than $1,000 to do that. And then utilizing LED lights, there's going to be hardly any cost for...
Are they pretty durable, like LED? I assume they'd be like at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? Shining
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly, but it almost sounded like it'd be inside.
Okay.
And they'd be multicolored type of thing. So.
Just wonder if it starts to malfunction, would they also cover the repair?
I would think we could speak with them.
Although
on
it
that.
Sounds like yeah. it probably stands on its own
right.
without lights. But.
Right. But I would think that if that were the case, we could discuss that with them. But
because like said, alternatively, you just leave it off.
We
and if they want it back on.
We had a donation
it.
Down
True.
On the Fox River Trail at what is it, Sunlight or Sunset Park, whichever.
Okay.
There's a sculptor down there.
Sunset
did we,
Park.
Did we ever write? Is there a policy we wrote regarding donating
sculptures to the village along there and responsibility for maintenance and landscaping and stuff ongoing. This was 3 or 4 years ago.
I first joined
the committee, so right. I don't remember it well. But we had this discussion.
Okay.
I thought we wrote something up.
I would have to check on that. I don't recall seeing a agreement or that. Yeah. But, I know of the structure you're talking about, the sculpture.
It's at Sunset Park. This discussion, yeah.
Right.
And Reed Houston.
Correct. And, I would have to check on that.
So. I don't remember. I don't know.
Right. Right. So, but. Does the committee have any questions or anything with regards to that?
Great. I think it's a great idea.
Does this need any type of
motion? Action.
Vote? Do we have a motion to approve the request by the Alloway Community Band to place a sculpture by the community center?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? So moved. Moving on, number 8, facility and field rental fee restructure.
All right. Did everyone get a copy of the fee, proposed fee structure and comparisons? Email. I think I emailed that to everyone,
yeah,
so you guys could preview that. There is that.
Bigger print I could use.
And here's a copy of the comparisons. So what we wanted to do was take a look at our fees and make them a little simpler, make them a little, bring them, into a little bit more comparison with regards to some of the other communities maybe that have similar facilities. But all in all, it was to just take a look at our fees. And then as far as who gets charged what with regards to currently we have, four categories, residents, non-resident, resident exempt, non-resident exempt. And then, there's all these other organizations out there that we're seemingly having to guess, how much we charge them. Are they exempt? Do they get fees waived? Things like that. So one thing that we have done is categorized pretty much every organization, person, very similar to what other communities do, and it works well in the other communities, such as Category 1 is our government agencies, nonprofits, village-affiliated recreation groups. And government agencies are things such as, DNR, another community organization, the county, things like that, if they were wanting to utilize a facility. Alloway residents, charitable groups in the village, and schools would be Category 2. And then Category 3, which is the higher category, would be non-residents and for-profit businesses. Let me see. Where did I put mine? Oh, there it is. With regards to our fees, with the exception of Village Hall, which we have for Category 1, at a $0 amount for the Monday through Friday, pretty much every category would be charged a fee of some sort to cover costs. With some of them being such as Green Isle Pavilion and Alloway Community Center, those are rental facilities that are actually revenue generators for us, and we would hate for government entities or nonprofits to take away from potential revenue on a weekend, for instance. On a Saturday at Green Isle Park in the summertime, which is one of the busiest times, you know, to have somebody come in there and you know, necessarily take away from potential revenue. So, you know, we felt for those some of those situations in those times, you know, they should be charged the same type of fee. If they were having a meeting, we've got other facilities. We can accommodate them where they wouldn't necessarily be charged a fee or a very lower fee. So, a couple of them. Also, we had hourly rentals, for instance, for Category 1 under, say, Green Isle Pavilion or the Alloway Community Center. Those would be instances where they would have a meeting, per se, and maybe it's only an hour, you know, where we felt that it would you know, be understandable where we could just charge them an hourly fee, and it, you know, really wouldn't be cost effective for them to be charged a full half day or, you know, full day rental. So,
how do you define a half day?
Our half days, and I don't know if I have it on these sheets, half day rental was, I have it here somewhere. Half day rental is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. would be the a.m. half day. P.m. half day rental, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. So it gives us, if we were to have those half day rentals, gives us an hour in between for cleaning purposes. And allows us to have more half-day rentals than if our current renting is on a four-hour basis at any time throughout the day. They could rent the pavilion for 4 hours from noon till four. Well, that pretty much shoots a morning or an evening rental. You know, they really can't do that.
It makes it tough.
So, we thought that with these two half days, and then the other option would be a full day for, you know, a wedding, they would just take it for the full day. Mm-hmm. So, if you look at some of the last column on the far right, you know, one of the questions I think that Rob had asked was about revenues. You can see some of the revenues that were generated by our rentals in the last couple of years. And keep in mind that the 2015 revenues did not include December yet, so we're still bringing in some revenues there. But we do feel that with these changes, we pretty much think that we will increase the revenues from what they are currently.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why I kept kind of asking about it, because it was just like we didn't have anything really formal, and I didn't feel like we did in place for it, you know. And it seems like just to cut the grass and everything at the soccer complex and baseball complexes down there, it's a lot of maintenance on tractors and fuel and everything else to keep those fields up, and aren't we getting a fair shake on those?
Right.
Without breaking the bank on the organizations that want to rent them.
Right.
You know? So,
right.
And, you know, and that was one thing. And I think it was also another thing that I wanted to see was the difference in resident and non-resident fees, you know, that, that go into it. I think a non-resident should pay a little bit more.
Right. Did this answer your question regards to that?
Very well done.
Okay.
So, much easier to read like this than it was on my computer.
Okay.
And I got a 24-inch monitor on my computer.
Okay. you know, the other sheet then as well was some comparisons.
Before we switch to that sheet, can I ask one more
question? Sure, no, go right ahead.
What is this Run Walk special event?
Thanks for bringing that up. That was, this is something new, and it's just a suggestion or an idea of... and we discussed it at staff, and we thought, well, maybe it's not a bad idea. For run, walk, special events, for instance, Cystic Fibrosis does a charity, you know, fundraising run or a walk, you know, down at Green Isle Park, where they go out onto the street and go down the trail and then back to the park. You know, they make a loop. And typically, you know, they fill out the paperwork and they reserve, if they need to, they'll reserve the pavilion, say for, you know, for checking people in and out or whatnot, but they don't have to. So some of these run walks are, they just fill out the paperwork and it's free, more or less. So we were thinking, okay, should we at least charge some money for administrative expenses? You know, try to recoup our time in the office, and sometimes we have to take them to the village board for approval. You know, something like that. So that was what that was.
Well, because when I saw that, I thought about the Bellin Run. Do we get, does the village get anything for having the Bellin clogging up our streets?
No.
So could this be applied to that then?
It just is in the streets, right?
Well, I think yeah. Bellin might be a category outside of itself,
right.
But only because they utilize us and Green Bay,
yeah.
And they've got an awesome track record that within
yeah.
5 minutes after that main crew is through,
yeah.
It gets cleaned up
right.
and gone. I think what we're talking about more so is the miscellaneous and little incidentals
yeah.
that would come up mm-hmm. from the breast cancer walk run, from the pet walk run.
So those, you know, mainly those occurring in parks.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I see them all the time on East River Drive walking
yeah.
past.
Yeah.
And it's always a surprise, but they don't ever have anything set up and there are never any cops,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem like, that are there.
Yeah, a couple of the bigger ones I think they do. They have volunteers that I live on East River.
Oh, yeah, I know. We've talked about that before.
I could charge for parking. You talk about parking. People don't like to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to a 10K. Why do you want to park
yeah.
at the
yeah.
entrance?
Hey, you don't want to burn extra fuel.
Yeah, you know. So, but there's a couple of them that have gotten pretty large.
Right,
yeah, so
right.
Has there been a cleanup problem?
No. We typically try to. We do have things put in place. The larger the event, you know, they're required to bring in dumpsters, or they're required to bring in. Portable toilets, things like that.
And that's all included in that application.
Correct. Yeah. Well, we were looking.
Still likely to use our garbage cans in our restrooms, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we do have.
Typically.
That is an issue. I mean, that is a follow up on our part.
Correct. Yeah. It was just an idea that I thought that, you know, maybe it'd be worth discussing at the.
Yeah, I actually think it'd be okay to put a fee on that. You know,
I think it should be bigger than
$25. I think that's
yeah.
too small. I mean,
yeah.
they collect some pretty good registration fees from.
Well,
companies.
Yeah, and I mean, the reality of it is, and I realize we're on record here, but you know, some of those runs, I'm sure we use more than $25 worth of toilet paper. You know,
sure.
So
sure.
You know, we should be able to recover that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
well,
I think
that says that they can't approach the village to ask for the fee to be waived.
Right.
For
yeah.
certain special circumstances.
Yeah. I mean,
and
we'll
then,
promote
and then you
that.
Take that up on a case by case basis.
I think it's reasonable. You know, a $50 fee.
Okay.
Of something, or base it on estimated attendance. You know.
Okay.
1 to 200. I don't know, 1 to
okay.
125,
sure.
100
yeah.
and over, 100 to 250,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
over 200, 100. You know,
I
don't know,
sure.
kind of range.
Okay.
You know? I mean,
no.
It's a $25 fee, you know, usually for
mm-hmm.
registering for those.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Bellin Run up to? 80?
100 or something.
Is it 100 now?
No,
90.
It's not that bad.
I think it's about 80 for sure.
90, 80.
Yeah.
Oh, I just registered. It was only like 35 or something like that.
Really?
Was it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Early registration wasn't bad.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking about half marathon.
Okay.
Is that unreasonable? We should have the ability to recover.
Sure.
And honestly, we're probably not even, when you talk about water usage and everything else, probably not even covering it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's okay to ask for that.
Ultimately, what I want to do is, once we get this pretty much finalized, then we'll take it to the village board for approval, you know, to change any of the fees or that. So are there any other fees that there are any questions on or comments that committee members might have?
They seem in line, you know, from a comparison.
One that we did add, another one that we did add, tournament fee. In the past, it was... for sport facilities. In the past, it was just a per-game fee that was similar to, you know, it was the same across the board, whether it was a you know, game during the week or, you know, or a tournament. Typically, tournaments, they bring in a lot of people, require a lot of effort on our part, and they make a lot of money, so...
I would strongly say yeah.
So I mean, yeah, so that's, you know, that's why we increased those dollar numbers, because it is yes, tournaments bring in economic impact to the community, to the area, but they also for some situations are kind of an issue for residents as well. You know, for instance, over at by the softball diamonds, mm-hmm. when they have a tournament over there, it's it can be a hardship for, you know, some of the residents that live around there with all the parking and things like that. So, but so yeah, we did think that that we should charge a little bit more for those tournaments. Mm-hmm. So, and that is a per field per day fee. So if they're using a facility where there's only one field, you know, we charge them per field. If it's a facility where they have five fields and they're using all five, mm-hmm. because they have that many teams coming in.
So what would you propose for a tournament fee?
We have down $100 for Category 2, which would be, schools, LWA residents, and that. $200 for non-residents or for-profit businesses.
Absolutely. So. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask our individuals that know a lot about tournaments, what do you think? Is that fair, unfair, not adequate?
Is it per field per day?
Yes.
From our standpoint, in the non-profit category, I think that's reasonable. A lot of times, you don't see per field per day charges. You see per hour, or it's more per hour charges. And then the other of the local communities will usually nickel and dime for lights and this, that, mm-hmm. whatever. It does make it difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate the per field per day chart. It just makes it a lot more clean.
And that's where we were coming from, too. Mm-hmm. I hate trying to have to figure things out.
I think that's a reasonable rate.
Okay. It simplifies it. How many fields are you going to need? Three? Okay. $105.
It does get difficult sometimes trying to figure things out. So, and then with our sport facilities, Category 1 would be, first and foremost, we try to work out a field use agreement with them, you know, with our organizations and that. And if not, then the fees would be the same as Category 2.
Any other comments, questions? Do you need action from us?
I don't. This was just a discussion item that I wanted to get the input from the committee on and see if you had any questions. What I will do is take some of your recommendations, change that up. We'll probably look to take that to the village board at some point in the next month or so. None of these fees will take place until 2017 because we're utilizing, you know, we've got people, you know, booking, actually have people wanting to book 2017 already for some of the facilities. We pulled them off because we knew we wanted to change some of the fee structure. So, but, and then that other sheet was just comparisons with the other communities, so the committee got a chance to see what, you know, the other communities were charging for some of those.
Very nice. You showed this back with the other communities?
No, I did all that work. Why should I? actually, Matt did a lot of that work. I'll give him the credit.
Given the fact that it's only the 26th of January, do we have to implement this for 17, or do we just implement it now?
Yes, we would have to do it in 17 because half of our for Green Isle Park, that's booked through half the year already.
Couldn't you make it though that if you booked it in 2016, you got 2016 rates. If you booked it in 2017, you, or 2016, 2015, 2016.
Right. They're grandfathered in if they've already booked it? Yeah.
I would have to take a look at it. It might be difficult with our system.
Why don't you just put it in there that new events, reoccurring events, are this won't kick in until the year 2017, but new events are subject to the new rates.
Well, we could discuss that at the board meeting, too. You know, do you want to enact it right now, or do you want to... I'll have to take a look behind the scenes to see if we can...
Yeah, I was going to say, look administrative.
Right, see if we can make sure that we can do it, you know, before. But, yeah, we can do that. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for all your input, your ideas, with regards to that. All right.
Okay, number 9, future agenda items. Does anyone have any items you want to have added to future agendas?
What do we currently have on there? I thought we had a list already going.
We have quite a bit. Next month we'll bring back, hopefully we'll have a final for the field use agreement with Titletown. We're also looking at recreation programming. I'm going to have Matt come in.
Okay.
And we'll discuss some of the rec programs.
Good.
And then we have, what else did we have? Get that. Oh, donation options to offset maintenance and capital improvement projects. That's Rob's suggestion. You want to take a look at that. So, and... I think that's it for the next meeting right now.
Okay.
Then I've got some other things that can wait until March. Or
you might even want to split bills up.
So.
Be lengthy.
Well, we've always... There's another item on this list that will eventually have to be undertaken and that, in regards to urban wildlife management. So at some point we have to start that. Which will be a lengthy discussion, and we'll go on for quite some time. And there will be many more people than 3 people show up to the meeting. So.
It might be interesting to take a look at what the bike and ped group has been doing. You know, there's a lot
good
of
good idea.
Kind of cross interest there.
I will.
I know they've been busy, and I think they're looking at a plan or have a plan.
They are close.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it in for you guys to at least see and see what they've been up to. And that. Another item that actually we're working on, I'm working with Trevor on, we are working on village signage, which would, we're looking at a common theme that we can utilize for signage, which would include our park signs, trail signage, wayfinding signage throughout the community, along the streets, things like that. So currently we're working with UWGB students. I think next week we have to meet with them, that they're going to come up with some design options that we'll both take to the Planning Commission and, you know, I'll run it past you guys as well. You know, to get some common theme for our signage and what we want to see around the community, and then we take it to the board so we can start doing some.
We just had a Plan Commission last night, and the UWGB students will be given a presentation at the next Plan Commission meeting. So I don't know if there's interest if anybody can make it to that meeting, then you can see their presentation on some
what
options
is that?
They've come up with.
That will be in the end of February.
Yeah,
right.
February.
Yeah. Well, it's the Monday before our meeting. So.
Oh. Yeah, it's always just the day before.
Fingers crossed that we get it all.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a pretty tight timeline, so hopefully it works.
22nd at 6 p.m.
Any other thoughts on future agenda items? They just keep rolling off your list. Mm-hmm. If not, do I have an motion for adjournment?
Adjourn.
So moved by Rob. Seconded by Robert. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? No. So moved for... Adjourned. Go home and celebrate your daughter's birthday.